Hey there, welcome back to Myth and Magic for Modern Times. I'm your host, Jessica of Jay and Juniper, and I'm a tarot reader and healer, and I created this podcast to shine a light into the subconscious, to look at the stories beneath the stories, to bring forward that which was once taboo or just unknown into the light of day in an approachable, grounded, safe container that is this podcast. Today I'm joined by Luminessa Njara, a priestess and mentor who is hosting a workshop very soon on April 27th called What's Your Sexy? Are you the primal goddess, goddess of sensuality and beauty, or like me, spoiler alert, the sacred courtesan, a mixture of all these or something else? We're discussing the sacred power of femaleness for those who identify as women, along with the archetypes that embody female sexual power, and among other things, where the words whore and prostitute came from and what they mean in their original usage. I hope you enjoy. Now on with the show. Hi, Luminessa. Thanks for joining me.
Hello, Jessica. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm so excited to start digging into this topic about women's sexuality and our power and the misconceptions and where you're coming from and all you've learned. And first, I want to ask you, what inspired you into this path, into this line of work and study?
Well, I am going to give everyone the abbreviated version of this.
Okay, you know, great.
Many years ago, well over 20 years ago, back in the 80s, I'll give you a clue of where I originated from back in the 80s, okay. A century ago for some people. I received a very mystical message, and it was in a very dynamic way, a way in which nobody could actually doubt it for themselves. And this message came through somebody else that I was seeing who I was going to do a channeling session with, and it was a lineage. I was told by a group of Egyptian priestesses, one whose name is Njara, priestess of the flame. And if you might note that my last name is Luminessa Njara for a reason. That's where you get it. So Njara, priestess of the flame, said that there was a lineage that I was in a past life, her. I ended up saying yes to this opportunity, which was an amazing experience for me, because the minute I said yes, I went to an ecstatic bliss, literally.
Ooh, nice.
I went into a state of such, like, I was saying yes to my mission.
Yeah.
I had no idea what the mission was. Can you imagine? You're saying yes to something, but you have no idea what it is that you're saying yes to.
Oh my gosh.
But you're saying yes.
So but
you're
it
saying
feels
yes,
good. So you know there's
so
some reason.
That I was crying. I was dead. So this day, I saw this vision of this logo for this priestess of the flame is what I called it, the priestess of the flame, and it was because she was called the priestess of the flame, and it was a sect within the temples of Isis, and I never really. It took me, Jessica, many many years to really get downloads as to what the heck this was.
Yeah.
The logo was beautiful. In fact, I started teaching sacred temple dance. I used the logo as a way to, you know, put out my work. And I had women who would sign up for my classes and say to me, I don't know what it is, but I saw that logo and I knew I had to come be with you. So there was something in the logo, something people, women recognize on some deeper level. And that's how that started. It started with that point. And from there, it only grew as I did my own personal journey. I did my own personal transformation. I've always been committed to my spiritual growth. I was studying Tantra. I was learning all about sexuality from a different point of view. Mm-hmm. I had been studying the goddess. So there was that aspect also about female empowerment through our own goddess mythology. Mm-hmm. And as a result of all of those things over time, I developed the first incarnation of this work, which was called the School of Women's Mysteries. And it seemed that all the work that I was doing was always about women's sexuality. So even though I was studying Tantra and I was working with men and with women, it, you know, just became apparent that I was much more tuned into women,
okay.
That I really wanted to work with women. And I began to do these wonderful workshops with another tantra teacher friend of mine that was called Erotic Awakening for Women, in levels 1, 2, and 3. So the whole idea of this came forward as I was teaching women in this Erotic Awakening workshop series that I was doing. And I was teaching, it was pretty revolutionary, I think, for that time. This was later on in the
Yeah, I
90s,
bet.
because even though sexuality, and it's not like it is today, where we talk a lot about it, there are a lot of tantra teachers, there are lots of women teaching about sexual empowerment for women. Back in the 90s, early 90s, and in the 80s, and all of that, women weren't doing this. It just wasn't happening. And our workshop was unique. We were doing this 2-day experience that was kind of like a puja experience. So women did this puja, which is a really, pujas are just where you have sacred circle. It's like a ritual.
Okay,
And
I didn't know what a
our,
puja was.
well, in India, they're really rituals to a god or a goddess. And it's a very different experience. But in the West, we adapted them as we did Tantra. We made Neo Tantra become Westernized Tantra. And we adapted it more to be more of a self-growth psychological experience. So another two women would be in a circle. There'd be like maybe 12 of us in a circle, two on two, two on two. And we would do these little vignettes. Like one might be something like, this is your sister before you. I'm asking you now to share with her all the times. And, we would do a vignette about betrayal, women to women. So you can imagine some of the shifts, some of the depth that we
Oh my
could go
gosh,
to.
yeah.
We would take issues that were very up for women. And again, the idea or the concept of women trusting each other.
Well, that is such a theme that's still within the collective and very much enforced by the patriarchy, this distrust of other women. Well, that's like one of the key stories of the patriarchy is that women are inherently untrustworthy, which comes from, I think it comes from the Christian faith, that Bible story of Adam and Eve. But it's very much throughout all of our culture. And so even as a woman, you have to kind of internalize that and be like, oh, women are inherently untrustworthy, but not me. I'm not like those other women, but then it creates this distrust amongst women. And we it's yeah, it's still so much a part of it, but I do also feel like we are bringing so, sort of bringing awareness to it. So yeah, that's super cool. What kind of a shift in that consciousness have you seen since the workshops you've done?
Well, I would say that what I've seen over the years, especially in the newer generations, the younger generations, I would say the millennials, and maybe even after, to some degree, at least the women or the young women that I talk with often are much more aware of their sexual energy. They're more aware of when I talk about sisters, they seem to have a sisterhood with their friends. Though they, I believe, depending on where we live, where you live, where your family is, there's so much influence as to what will help you to believe or feel connected to another woman or not. How your mother is with her friends will make a difference, So I think that even though I live in a county where a lot of the young women are more conscious, more awake, that does not really that they're a representation of the culture at large. I've just noticed the women that I talk to seem to be more tuned in than most, especially when I was their age. They're more tuned in.
Cool.
And that's a good thing. It doesn't mean that that's everywhere, but I do think there's been a shift in the younger generations because the millennial generation, I believe, has really been more about inclusivity.
Oh,
It's been
that's a
about,
beautiful way to look at the millennials.
yeah, I mean, that's been part of it. It's like they are in groups, they do things in teams, they're not so isolated. They like being with their friends. I actually know a millennial who's got tons of friends. They always hang out, they always do things in groups. Always do groups. So it's different. Boys and girls together are friends.
Yeah,
And
that is
that's
really
new.
cool.
Yeah, that's a new thing.
I'm on the edge of a millennial. I am technically one, but I'm near the edge, and I grew up in a different time zone, really, like a different time era. where I did not have the access to technology or pop culture that my peers did. So I also very much feel like I actually feel like I'm a missing generation, but if anything, more like Gen X. And like sisterhood is something that I've really been developing in the last few years of my life, but for much of my life, I did not have a sisterhood. So it's really great to rediscover that. It's so powerful when our like starting to sometimes it's hard to see the power within yourself, but when you can see these powerful women and you have these great examples and you spend more and more time with them, you start to understand like how powerful femaleness is, and that's actually you as, and I speak as someone who identifies as a woman.
Yes, and the thing also is that the definitions of what it really means to be empowered or sexually empowered is a question that we really want to go into at times that I really bring forward, because there is a difference. What is the difference, Jessica, between a sexually empowered woman and an empowered woman? What
Ooh.
these are questions that I present because I believe that we often blur them. And we think because we're a woman and we have, for me, okay, so sexual empowerment, there's a given, one of the things that I do bring forward from the lineage that I'm here to teach is that we have an innate power. All women share, if you're born in a woman's body and you feel like you're an identified woman, okay, we'll have to clarify that because right now, with
Right.
fluid gender, transgender, so if you're a woman and you're in a woman's body, or if you were a man and you want to be in a woman's body, you still feel self-identified as a woman, this would fit you. You might identify that your body is powerful. Our bodies innately were designed to be the way they are. Pretty amazing, right? Pretty
Yeah.
beautiful. If you look
Well,
at.
I hope you're going to answer that question of what the difference is between
I
an awakened
am.
woman.
It's
Great.
really
I
not.
can't wait to hear it.
Well, it's not
You
an
just blew
answer.
my mind with.
It's really a discussion because.
Right.
Our empowerment comes from, okay, so in my lineage, the empowerment is innately within the woman's womb. Because one of the things we share is that we can, and this is not all women, but let's say we have the opportunity to have children, which nobody else has but the female sex, right? Of any species, right? But then we bleed, okay, and that's powerful. What's powerful is the attraction, the magnetic attraction that we hold in our bodies and the ability to attract. Men don't have it the same way. It's actually because we
I
have
can
a
see that.
magnetic energy in the womb. We have a sexual
Ooh.
life force free energy in the womb energy itself. It's womb power. It's only there because as women, we do share this. And I think women have lost. In our culture of not, and I wouldn't say patriarchal, I say male-dominated culture. In the male-dominated system, the way it is, all of these powers that women have innately been born with were dumbed down, were negated. Because men and the men in power, and also all the other beings in power, didn't want any of us to have our sexual power. So things were created to control everything. So women forgot. We forgot the connection. We forgot that. Our menses isn't a curse. We forgot that having a baby was a sacred right. We forgot that all of these things were part of being in a woman's body, and that innately, because we're in the biology of a woman's body, there's a power that we're given when we're born. It's
Yeah.
there.
And that connection, like in some ways you there's an awareness that women's beauty is desirable, but women's bodies are also a curse because nobody like wants to talk about your monthly cycle, or it's taboo to just to talk about it. It's gross. It's really looked down on.
Well,
There's all this separation from like being sexy and being a mother. That's
yes.
only just now starting to come back together. And
And
so when you separate out all these ideas and they're not whole, then yeah,
exactly.
they lose their power.
When they're not whole, when you look at us and we say, so in other words, women's bodies, when we look at a woman's body, we will say, oh, isn't that beautiful body? Look at the curves, even look at the belly, look at the rounded hips. And depending on the culture you live in, depends on the whatever is the current standard of beauty. And again, who makes that current standard of beauty? Men.
Men, yes.
It's not women. And that's innately shifting, but still not there. So we have these standards. Okay, so we look at that, and I think women then, we lose touch. Generations after generations after generations begin to believe the propaganda about women and women's bodies, women's power, until we're in the culture we're in today, where young girls are having one standard and they're not really appreciating who they are with the bodies they have and the power that that has. So on one level, sexual empowerment is about understanding the power of our female form and the female sex, and innately going back to it, connecting back directly back into that power. That's one aspect of our sexual empowerment, because we are being empowered by our sex. And it's not about how good you are in bed. It's not about how many lovers you've had. Now, that's not a bad thing to be. It's not a bad thing to have experience, but it's not about that. The other aspect of sexual empowerment is how well you know your own body. You can't be a wonderful lover if you yourself do not understand pleasure and what it is about your own body that makes you feel sexually satisfied, sensually satisfied. If you don't have that, you cannot be a good lover. You cannot be a sexually empowered woman unless you're empowered within yourself with your own sexuality.
Yeah, and there's a huge absence of that structure, of that context, of that education within our culture. And it all of the focus is on what is pleasurable to men. That's my experience.
Well, in the culture, yes. And even if you're a woman that wants to study outside of that, you really have to go and look. You have to go and say what classes are being offered. And even in those classes, some will be teaching you just purely what's erotic and sensual. And some, like if you take Tantra or sacred sexuality, you'll learn more of the sacred context. To me, anything with our bodies is sacred if we call it sacred. So sacred is the context in which we hold all of our sexuality. Not whether you study it, it's just a context. You say, this is sacred. I am sacred.
I like that.
You create that context. So that's one level when I call sexual empowerment. It's something from very deep within ourselves. And the secret that many women forgot, not their fault, it's just never been taught us, is that we are the keepers of this information. We are the teachers of men. We are the connection. The heart lives in the woman. The connection of sex and heart together. We are here to help men awaken to their love and connecting their heart with their sexuality. Men today live in their sex, but they may not live in their heart. Or they'll live in their power, but they won't live in their heart. So it's a woman's opportunity. It's her gift to give that to any man that she's with. And that's if she chooses to be with a man, even if she gives it to another woman and that woman plays the role of that. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't really matter. I don't think gender is important right. as much as the consciousness that person brings. So
why do you say that it is the woman's job or responsibility and privilege to be that teacher? Where are you getting that
because
understanding?
That's the ancient wisdom that was taught for so long and forgotten. Women were always the teachers of love and sexuality, always. They hold the information because of who they are as women and their bodies. They are the givers of life. They are the creators. They're creatrix. Men don't do that. Now, I believe that somewhere along the paths, it got where men were supposed to open women up But in indigenous cultures, there was
What does that mean, though?
Indigenous cultures, there were fire. I'm going to call them firemen and firewomen. There are other names. But there were women that would train young men on how to please all the different varieties of women and teach them about sexuality, sensuality, pleasure, how to be a husband, how to be in the community and give. And then there was that training for women so that when they were leaving those after 3 or 4 months or a year, however long they lived with these different beings, they would come and then they would be ready for marriage, be ready to be adults. And then they would go out into their tribe or their wherever they were, and they would have this training. So they weren't ignorant. They weren't like virginal. They weren't like that ignorance around their bodies and pleasure and how to please each other. And that gave
and how to be in relationship. with
It
someone
taught them,
else.
yes, it taught them how to be in relationship. So we don't have that in these, in our culture. It's missing.
Oh my gosh, why did we get rid of that? Why is there
Because
such
of the Christian.
shame and such prizing, like this
Well, it's pure,
pure.
comes from the puritanical roots of the Christian roots of the Reformation and Luther and the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church and sex, as you know, and you mentioned it earlier, Jessica. If you look in the history of the Bible and how it was created and what was left out and what was left in, and you see what happened was things were distorted on purpose. Things were created on purpose to control the masses. So this is a
I have
long
no
story we
doubt
didn't even
of
go
that.
into. So that's part of the reason why it was all left out, because it was all, you know, this wasn't the pure gospel from Jesus or Gospel of Mary.
I actually just picked up a book about the Gospel of Mary that I've been reading that has so much meditation work and just, yeah, and it's super fascinating.
So I asked you the question. So if we look at sexual empowerment from some of these ideas, what do you think it means to just be an empowered person?
Consciousness is what I would say. Awareness of your ego, your shadow, your light, your perception, the way your perception affects your reality, conscious of how you're acting, how you're showing up.
Yeah, I mean, empowered as an empowered human being, it's about consciousness. It's about, I think, feeling empowered means that we feel confident in ourselves. We feel, you know, an empowered person is someone who, to me, just has it, something inside of them that just feels that they feel enough. They feel strong in their own being. They feel that they can meet challenges, even if they're. Even as challenges, they're willing to confront them and meet them. There's some sort of a sense, I think, when I'm an empowered in an empowered place, I feel that nothing can stop me. I feel strong. I feel like I know who I really am and that nothing is going to challenge, you know, waver. I'm not going to waver off of that. I feel that we're centered. You know, there's a centering, grounding space in yourself, and you're
Oh,
very
yeah,
strong in that.
absolutely.
And
And
there's a
yeah,
difference.
and being in that place of your own power, you know that no matter what happens, you can take care of it because you are powerful, you are sovereign. And then, and so often we're just knocked off center with that and think like, I don't have any control. I don't have free will, or I'm not going to be able to take care of myself if XYZ were to happen. So
Exactly.
that, yeah.
So I think that there's the difference is that when we're sexually empowered, we know about our sexual, we know everything there is to know about ourselves from that point of view, right? From our sexuality, how we are, we're comfortable with our sexuality. We're not afraid to talk about it. We can talk about it with a partner. We're very mature. It's like I was raised in a sex positive community. So anytime I wanted to talk about sex, it was always part of our conversation. It didn't feel abnormal to talk about sex in a group. We talked about it all
Wow.
the time. But it's different in a culture that no one talks about it.
Right.
No one talks about it. So there's how could you be empowered when no one talks about it?
You can't.
You can't. So you see, we're creating that. So part of the work, part of the lineage is to bring all of this information forward to the modern day woman or young girl can use it in today's culture, which, as you know and have experienced and know of, is let's just say it's got a lot of mixed, confused messages that are given to girls and women. And you know, partly what I'm here to do is just the beginning of some of that work is to just acquaint women with the different archetypes that exist within our goddess mythology. I use the goddess mythology because some of that, at least maybe your generation, I think the Gen X for sure generation didn't get it. And I think some of the millennials did and some didn't. Whereas the, you know, I was in the women's lib generation and the goddess mythology and all that was really strong and the feminist movement and women's liberation. So there were generations that came after that that kind of got skipped. Because then I'll talk to a woman and they'll go, goddess? And I'll mention a goddess name and they'll go, oh, I think I've heard of her. But they
Yeah,
did not
I
know.
definitely was not aware of goddess. Goddess actually felt like kind of a scary word. It
Yeah.
for a long time, and it took me a while to get used to that word and to pull apart the energy that it was carrying from before.
Exactly. So it's kind of like there was a little bit, I don't know whether it was a backlash or what happened, but there was a few generations that didn't get this information.
The Reagan years.
Yeah. Yeah. It didn't come. And so partly what my job I feel is, or what I'm here to do is help to re-establish and help to reintegrate and help young women, women to just tap back in and learn some of these things. So part of my programs always bring in what I call her story, because it is her story. It's that story that was
I love
forgotten.
that word.
I do too. I love her story. So, part of that lineage comes from the words of the sacred courtesans, or the sacred prostitutes. That word itself, prostitute, doesn't mean anything that it means today. These words have definitions that were thousands of years old that came from different roots that actually meant different things, and then in our culture turned into these almost like curse words. To be called a whore is to really, really often defame somebody. You're such a whore, And in actuality, the word whore comes from whore, comes from to know oneself, to hold the knowledge from within. Now, that's a beautiful word, right? But when the way we use it, it's so derogatory. So understanding this is fascinating to me. And I think it's good for women to understand these things so they start to shift in themselves. So one of these things that I've written once is called Reclaiming the Word Whore. We reclaim the word cunt. Some women are reclaiming the word tit, literally. I'm reclaiming the word whore.
Good for you. So I'm so glad you brought this up, because you have a free quiz on your website that you answer these questions, and then you find out what your sacred sexuality goddess archetype is. And I took your quiz and I got sacred prostitute.
You were the sacred courtesan, and
Sacred courtesan, sorry.
what I call it is, it's actually a quiz that's called What's Your Sexy, which is really just identifying which archetype. I have basically, there are many thousands of names for the goddess, okay? There's many thousands of names for the goddess of love, sexuality, and sensuality. In every single culture, there's a different name and a different goddess. But if we look at the archetype level or aspects, you may only come up with three or four major archetypes of all these different aspects. So
And
one
what
of
are
the
the ones on the quiz
yeah
again?
so one of them is the goddess of love is goddess of love and beauty or sensuality. So she's more like the Aphrodite type, and Aphrodite can be immature or mature, dark or light. I mean, we have a shadow, and we also have the side that's not the shadow. Then the second one that I've defined is the primal goddess. Primal goddess could be Shakti, it could be Lilith, it could be the primal life force energy, our raw, instinctual feminine self. And then the third type is the sacred courtesan, or what I call the sexual healer, combined with the woman who really knows her innate power and knows the power of her sex. Is her heart is open. She is someone who's more tuned into using sexuality as a vessel, as a way to impart, her presence. It's much more from a spiritual combination between spirit and sex combined.
Ooh,
And
yeah, lovely.
these are archetypes that are found throughout history in different cultures. All over the world, you'll see combinations of different goddesses that are either one, both, or all three.
Cool.
So if you take the quiz, it's just a short little quiz. It just gives you a kind of an idea of maybe who you think you are. And now the other aspect is who you're afraid of. Are you afraid of the wild side? Are you afraid of the primal instincts that you have? Would you like to become more connected to them? Would you?
Yeah, I actually would love to take this quiz again. Because I have actually been coming into a relationship with and unlocking my own primal side since taking this quiz.
Well, see, there you go. So that's just a little taste. So that leads to taking what I've developed because of things like that, of understanding, like, what's your flavor? today. And I, my, part of what I am here to bring forward is that when we as women can understand all of these different archetypes and embody them, not be afraid of them, own them, and find out what is the gift that they have to teach you. What is the gift of the sacred courtesan? What is the gift of Aphrodite?
What a beautiful way of looking at sexuality as a gift for yourself. What a radical and beautiful thing.
Yeah. And so as you integrate and you own all aspects, whatever aspect they might be, whether it's primal or it's goddess of love and sensuality, or whether it's the sacred courtesan or the sacred prostitute or whatever you would like to call her.
I like sacred courtesan. I don't know. I had prostitute in my mind,
right,
but I like courtesan better.
Prostitute, we still have a lot of energy around that word, so we just don't use it as much. Mm-hmm. But sacred courtesan is really about the combination of the woman who was the true courtesan, and she's also a sacred sexual healer and knows the value of what she offers.
What so is the true courtesan? What does that mean?
It comes from the word courtesan. How do you say it? It's Italian. Cortagna. Courtesan. And it's from where it was really women of the court, or even men of the court. And they became the mistresses of powerful men. And the women, as you know, from just a brief part, you might have seen the movie Dangerous Beauty, which actually gives a quite brief true story. I mean, it was slightly Hollywoodized, but it was still who she was as Veronica Franco. But the courtesans were the only women in European culture who were allowed to read books, who were allowed to be educated. It's kind of like the idea of the geisha in Japan, only the courtesans were more free. They didn't necessarily belong to a house. They were more free spirits. They could be their own emissaries for their own life.
I knew that it was courtesans and geishas who had access to that information, but I guess I was viewing it through this lens of like of male-controlled society of you have to pleasure us in order to have access to this reading. But I want looking at it from this lens of maybe this is a remnant of that old recognition of how powerful sexuality is. And maybe it was even women who were in control of their sexuality and empowered in it who were able to create that freedom and access to information for themselves because of it.
One of the things that you'll find in this, I recommend this as a book to read. You will learn about this in a very powerful way. Okay, I have it in my bibliography. It is called, I think it's called Women Who Conquered the World. No, Women Who Conquered the World and the Men They Ruled. And it is this amazing book based on all real life women who were in their day, the wild women, the courtesans, the women who had multiple lovers. They bulked all of their normal society rules about women, what they should or shouldn't do. And it is an amazing book. The women were not just about sex. They were comedians. They were artful with the pen. They were mathematicians. They were scientists. They were women that men fell in love with head over heels. They had more, they had so much power because they were so different from the norm of how women were normally taught. It really gives you an idea of what it was like to be that kind of a woman. It's an amazing book. It was one of my favorite books. I read it many times.
Oh, I can't wait to read it. So tell me more about this workshop that you're hosting.
So the I do like an introductory level play shop, I call it, because it is really for fun, but it's also deep, which is called What's Your Sexy? And basically, it is about taking these archetypes of the primal goddess and of the sacred courtesan and of the goddess of love, sensuality, and beauty, and having you explore the aspects that you want to embody. And we do this in such a way that you, there's a kind of an alchemical transformation that happens for you. You come in and we're in the most beautiful space you've ever been in. That's an incredibly beautiful temple in Sevastopol that really is a temple. And we do it through sacred space, sacred theater. We do it through movement and dance. We do it through actually calling in the energy. So you learn how to channel that energy into ourselves. We learn how to access those energies. So there's very experiential opportunity to come in, maybe not knowing, or maybe knowing what you think you like, but then finding something like, oh my God, look at that. I didn't know I had that in me. Or I got to know this part of myself that I didn't even know existed. You see? So you really get a chance to learn how to embody either one or all of them, depending on you, of these different aspects and archetypes.
That sounds like so much fun. I want to embody all of them, but I am so curious about the sacred courtesan and learning more about that. And like, I just love that. I'm so happy that I got that one on the quiz.
Absolutely. And so you get an opportunity during this one day experience to really interact and create temple sisterhood, to create sacred space, to play with costumes, to play with music and do movement. So it's an embodied version of it. We want to embody it, not just think about it, not just talk about it. We'll have sacred circle. It's very powerful to sit in circle with women if you have never done it before. But it's very powerful, especially when you sit in a sacred circle with women. So there's many elements to it that I think women will find very fulfilling, and I think even life transforming for them, depending on where they are in their own, self-growth and awareness in their journey.
Oh, I love it. If people wanted to join this play shop, where can they find the information?
So you can come to my website, which is the newfemininemystique.com.
Okay.
And right there at the very front page on the home page, it says what's your sexy? You can just click on that and it'll take you to the page and you can register right there online.
And what's the date that this is happening?
It's April 27th and it's from 10 to 5.
Okay, cool. Yeah, wow. Well, thanks so much for joining me and just starting to tap into this really rich subject.
Yeah, and I hope that maybe we'll do another show and talk
Yeah,
even
I'd
more
love
in depth
to.
about it, because this is a topic that could certainly do with a lot more conversation, I think.
Yeah, remind me because I think you told me before, but now I'm forgetting. What was the original definition of the word prostitute?
So prostuary is like for a woman who stands in. So if it was a common street prostitute, it would be a woman who stood in for the wife of the husband who came to her. And if it was a different level, if you were like a temple prostitute, you were standing in for the goddess. You were standing in, you were a channel of the vessel, you were a vessel. So original temple prostitutes, and there's often question as to they really exist, but I believe there's enough fact to say that they did. That if you were in other words, a temple prostitute would be a woman who was a priestess, who had given her life to be a temple priestess. And maybe one of the things she did was she would help to integrate a man who maybe had gone to war. And when he came back, he was so disembodied from his heart because he was in war. So in order before he would go home to join his family, he would come to the temple. He would be cleansed and purified. He'd be bathed. Maybe part of that would be having making love with a priestess who was a goddess. She was the representation of the goddess. So she didn't have a name. She was nameless because he wasn't
Right,
making
she
love with
wasn't
a woman.
herself.
He wasn't making love with a woman. He was making love with the actual direct vessel of the goddess. And through the act of sexuality, through the act possibly, and it didn't always mean that they had coitus, but let's say for the act of doing that, the Shakti, the power of her womb energy, the creative life force, would ignite him and connect him back with his heart. That's why we say the woman is the connector of the heart and our sex together. She connected the heart with her sexuality, brought him back home to the mother, to himself. So after being in the temple and going through this process, he would go back into his community, into his home, reintegrated as a whole man again.
Oh my gosh, we so still need that.
Could you imagine if soldiers
Can you
today
imagine?
had how much less PTSD there might be?
Wow. It's so, these things are that used to be so ritualistic, which are sort of starting to come back, but like taking a bath and eating food that's in season that tastes the best it can and sexuality, like this is why we're here in these physical bodies having this experience. And they used to be given appreciation, and it's been so commodified, I guess, or just we've been so separated from our own physical bodies and the experience that we're having that we don't take pleasure where in these things that were designed to give us pleasure.
To give us pleasure, and as we say these words, we know that, you know, when we think about it, if women then come into their own power again and they own their sexual power, they own the what I call a sexual allure. I love the word allure. I just love that word. When you think of your allure, it's like you have this magnetic energy that's innately in your womb. It's innately because of the way you're designed as a woman. That in itself is powerful. Imagine if you owned it and said, wow, this was so positive. This was my gift, is being, I don't have to do anything but be fully myself as a woman in my own body, own my power. And if you walk the world that way, how different it would be. I believe we will transform the world if all women, I think women get this information, then men get it. Women say no. Women say, this is who I am. No, you can't do that. No, you can't touch my body. No, this is, I'm a sacred vessel. You see?
Yes.
And then I think men transform too. And there are many men that are in support of
Absolutely.
many of us. I'm not saying there isn't, but I'm saying innately we know we live in a culture that's so much not for that.
So
Both of us are transforming that.
I have been doing a lot of work in my own tarot work and energy work with clients, and I feel like I'm on this journey too, where we're coming to this awareness of how much we're modifying our behavior towards men. And it isn't like, this is how I'm feeling. I'm going to express it and give him this choice to stand up and be the man I want. It's like, how do I say this so that he doesn't run away, so that he does what I want? And without even realizing that that's where we're coming from, because there's such a fear that the man's going to run away and that we're not worthy of him and da 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 da. And really bringing that awareness in and seeing how we're actually trying to set a trap, even though we don't realize it, that the men are absolutely sensing and staying the hell away from. And instead, both like taking back our own power of this is how I'm feeling. I'm not feeling like this. I was going to modify how I'm actually feeling so that I could get, so that I think that that would get me the result I want. But instead, I'm just going to put myself out there as I really am. Because I actually don't want a man who, I actually want a man who accepts me as I am.
Well, yes, I mean,
I
if
didn't even realize it.
you have to be authentically who you are, the more, look, let's put it this way. The way you were describing is the old stuff. It's the old paradigm. It's the idea that women have to catch a man. They have to trap a man. They got to get him. And then they have to be the way that they think he wants them to be. But the truth is, you're not like that at all. So no. You are a woman who is standing for the truth of who she is and all of who she is and all her power. And when you meet a man, that man will either resonate with you because he says, I want a woman just like her. I want that. That's what I want. It won't scare him. It'll challenge him. It'll excite him. It'll make him say, I want to be with her. And you will also, one of the things that I have learned is that you want to catalyze the king in a man. You want to catalyze that in him. How can you catalyze if you're not the queen? How can you catalyze a king if you don't even know what that means to be the queen? You can't.
Wow, mind blown again. How do tell me, how do you catalyze the king in a man?
That's a whole other conversation.
Okay, round two.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining me, Luminessa. This was such
You're
a great
welcome.
chat.
And I know we'll have an opportunity again, I hope soon. And thank you so much for having me on the show. I loved it.